الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala created insan and described what kind of creation this insan is. So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala declares, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Insan has been created weak. This is his nature. He's created weak. And regardless of how sometimes he may think he is very, very strong, but if he just looks around in the rest of the creation of Allah Ta'ala, then he will realize how weak he is. But together with that, he is weak within himself also. Within himself is the organ of the heart. And this heart in Arabic is called qalb. Qalb, the literal meaning of the word qalb is something that keeps turning around, keeps changing. And therefore the heart is called qalb, because this is its inherent nature. Just keeps changing. One moment it's some condition in the heart, and in the next moment it's something else. One moment there's happiness, the heart is very, very elated with happiness. Next moment it's plunged in grief, and then something again lifts the spirits up. And like that, many, many different conditions come on through the heart. Sometimes in a matter of moments it changes from one condition to another. So just as we understand very clearly how these changes do happen, how we may have experienced these changes ourselves, in one moment is something, one moment is something else. So likewise, the spiritual heart is also very, very sensitive. And the spiritual heart also gets impacted on and affected by things. Sometimes in moments it can change it from one side to the other. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, before his accepting deen and coming into the fold of Islam, he set out of his house with an intention, with a purpose which couldn't have been anything worse on earth. The worst intention that somebody could have had on earth. And he set out of his home in that manner. And the intention was, na'uzu billah, to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident is well known to us, that he went on his way with this very, very evil intention. This was what was bubbling in his heart, which nobody else probably had the guts to try and attempt this also. But what might have been the condition of his heart at that time, that he set out to do it. But then Allah Ta'ala willed it that on the way he met somebody who then redirected him to the house of his sister and brother-in-law. Many details in between. And when he got there, whatever happened and transpired there, we might have heard this many times. But Allah Ta'ala's hukam, that in that point in time, the ayat of the Quran Sharif fell on his ears, and then he read some aspects, some ayat that was written somewhere. And that changed the entire condition of his heart. All this is happening in approximately the same period of time. Minutes before where he was, and now his entire heart, from that intention of na'uzu billah assassinating Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a complete revolution, that now he's ready to become the slave of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the heart. This is how it can change, mashallah, for the better also. That from what extreme of negativity, of evil, of vice, of the worst intention on earth, and subhanallah, in a matter of a very short time, it went on to the other extreme good, that he is now ready to give his life for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as this change can happen in moments also, Allah forbid, the opposite change has happened in moments as well. People with iman, mashallah, in their hearts, people with the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, people who are punctual with their salah, who make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, who are punctual on adhkar and tasbihat, who have good character, mashallah, and then they went away to some environment which was totally opposite environment to deen, an environment which was filled with whatever, and something happened to the heart. The whole heart got overturned. Sometimes in one visit in the wrong place, the whole heart got overturned. All the salah went away. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, a faraway thing. The zikr can't come onto the tongue. The person's feet can't walk towards the masjid anymore. And the only thing that the heart is now engrossed in and only wants is more vice, more sin. Only thing it wants to look at, more and more evil. Wants only be in evil company. And now such a revolution took place, sometimes in just a matter of maybe minutes or an hour or two in the wrong place, and everything turned around. And sometimes some short while in the company of somebody whose aqaid are corrupted, whether that company was face-to-face company, whether that company was through that person's writings or whatever, or some person's talk, and that person's corrupted aqaid, he was in that company for the short while, and something sat in his heart, and Allah forbid, some people of this nature even gave up their iman. And now everybody is trying to explain to the person something, but he says that is stuck in his heart. He can't get past that. So therefore now, na'uzubillah, he doesn't want to listen to anybody anymore. Now what is this telling us? What is the lesson we take from all this? The lesson we take is our hearts. The heart is the most important part of this insan. Physically also we know it. And it is this heart that drives us towards our destination. It is the heart that will drive us to Jannat. If this heart is in the right place, if the right things are in this heart, if the right inspiration is in there, this heart will drive the person towards Jannat. Because the right inspiration in the heart, the right inclinations, the right fervor and zeal in the heart will bring him to the house of Allah Ta'ala. The right fervor and zeal will make him recite the Quran Sharif, but that zeal comes from the heart. The heart being filled with the love of Allah Ta'ala will keep him engrossed in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, will keep him wanting to do that which will please Allah Ta'ala and stay far away from everything that displeases Allah Ta'ala. So it's the heart. And then now because this heart is burning with the love of Allah Ta'ala, then obviously he cannot get close to Allah Ta'ala without the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being adopted, without following in his Mubarak footsteps. So that becomes his passion, that becomes his purpose and focus. But how to get to Allah Ta'ala, the only path to that is through the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So his lifestyle becomes a sunnah. The ways of the Yahud and Nasara, that is out of his life. But where it all stems from? It stems from the heart. What is inside the heart? Allah forbid, he's gone into all kinds of other places and that heart got affected. Now he wants to live the lifestyle of the Yahud and Nasara. He wants to have their kind of hairstyle, and then he's looking for some kind of justification of some sort to say even in Islam it's allowed, so what? But where he took it from? He took it from the Yahud and Nasara. If they start laughing at that hairstyle, he also will give it up. So his basis for adopting it and basis for forsaking it is what the Yahud and Nasara are doing, what the Western world is putting out there. That particular way of dressing, if that mother and sister had to hear that the whole Western world have thrown it away and that they have now started mocking it, so suddenly she'll give it up. But when she's told about something that no, this is not the Islamic way of dressing, this is the way that deen has taught, so she'll still be scratching for some kind of justification to say, well, within this and that and the other, it's okay, not too bad, and all kinds of words. But if the Western world, which is now, perchance, if that could happen, that if it happened that they forsook it, they started mocking that kind of immoral dressing, then she'll give it up also. So her basis of adopting it and her basis of throwing it away is what she is taking from the Yahud and Nasara. That mashallah, we are Muslima by name, we are Muslim by name, but then what we do, we're taking from the way of the Yahud and Nasara. But now what, where all that stemmed from, what the heart got affected with. Because the heart is looking, is taking an effect through what the eyes are seeing, what is reading, where the person is going, what kind of company the person has. All these things are impacting on the heart, and that is determining what a person does, what he wears, what kind of hairstyle he has, what kind of lifestyle he wants to live. All these things are being determined by what happened to the heart. And Allah Ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Insan is very weak, his heart is also very weak, very, very sensitive, gets impacted very quickly. Since his heart is so sensitive, there is so much of emphasis in the Quran and Sunnah about what kind of environment and what kind of company this heart is kept in. Company is going to make it or break it. Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, follow the way of his friend. So beware of who you befriend. Because who your friend is, you're going to become that. If your friend smokes, you're going to smoke sooner or later. Write it down. If that's the company you keep keeping. And Allah forbid what he smokes, then you're going to start smoking the same thing someday. You can write it down. And if we are not able to digest that, then ask many people the tragic experiences they have. You see, where you started off with all this, how you fell in the gutter. See, they're my friends. The company I had. And everybody warned me, parents were upset about it, others were advising me, but I thought I knew better. So I did what I wanted to do. And now I fell where I fell. So what happened? The heart got affected. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us this message, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili. The word is used is deen. Deen is a way of life. But then way of life is not confined to just external things. It then affects the very heart. And then Allah forbid a person actually his deen, his very iman and Islam goes. This too is not just some theory. Allah ta'ala save us and protect us. These things have happened in good Muslim homes. The person suddenly got a shock of his life. His daughter came out, suddenly so-called came out to na'uzubillah claim and to declare that she is no more Muslim. In a good Muslim home, suddenly out of the blue, where this came from? But then they realized she was in this school with all these Christian friends and this Christian ethos, but because it's a very elite place and now everybody needs the elite education at any cost. Whether it's the cost of iman also, but that has to happen first. We have to educate our children at any cost, regardless of what impact it has on their iman also. If they lose their iman, na'uzubillah, that too has become like a secondary matter. So now she was in this company all the time, and then they gave her some literature to read, and she's behind her locked door in her room, constantly engrossed in something, what she's reading. One day she comes out and says, I've studied this enough, this is where I am. Na'uzubillahi min dhalik. And Allah Ta'ala save us, these are not isolated incidents. Every other day we're hearing something like this. Now where it came from? The company, the environment, and the heart got affected. Now the person, heart is heart, got affected by what you read, what you listen to, what you see, without sometimes a person wanting to take that effect. And every person thinks about himself as I'm very discerning, but many so-called discerning people were washed away in total batil. And things which a person who has some understanding of deen also, he will be amazed at how this person got misled by something like this. But that is the effect of shaitan in that kind of environment. The heart gets darkened, the heart gets sealed. Now the truth the person can't understand, and falsehood makes sense to him. Like the person who's sick, the bitter things taste sweet to him, the sweet things taste bitter to him. He first has to get treated, then he'll come right. So in any case, the point and the message in all this is the aspect of the heart, which is the thing, which is the organ that drives us. This is what drives us. This is going to take a person to Jannat, because it's what goes in the heart that now makes him do what's going to take him to Jannat. And Allah forbid, if the wrong things are there in the heart, it's going to drive him to Jahannam. Because that heart is going to drive him in all the midst of the fitna and fasad. Now the heart is caught up with all the entertainment. So now this time of the year, how can I get left out? Everybody is everywhere, how can I get left out? So now that's in the heart. So now I have to be right in the midst of all the nudity, all the vice, all everything that is totally destructive to that spiritual heart. Many a person who, mashallah, was constant on his amal, his salah, dhikr, dua, whatever, and one so-called holiday season, and he says, I can't get myself to do anything. My salah is also gone. What happened? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spelt it out to us. أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The best of places in the sight of Allah Ta'ala are the masajid. The worst of places, meaning permissible places. Because out of necessity a person has to go to buy his needs, etc. The worst of permissible places are the bazaars, the marketplace. But now that is where a person out of necessity and need, where in principle things are okay, but because it still becomes a place of fitna sometimes. But now what if that place is now built to be a place of fitna? They no more call it shopping centers, they call it entertainment centers. All kinds of fitna is abounding. Now the person says, no, he has to be there. Why? Because everything is happening there. Events that now are put together in this time of the year, where whether it's in the name of Islam or whatever it might be, but the environment is toxic for iman. People who found themselves in that environment out of choice or out of whatever, they thought they're going to do some business for their needs, but they came out saying that my iman got badly affected. My heart is totally in darkness. So now somebody wants to compare, but what's the difference between going to such events and going to the bazaar and marketplace? But the entire environment here becomes super toxic from an imani point of view. And nobody goes here generally out of just necessity. It's the whole entertainment factor. And then some say, no, we're going to buy some things at a very good bargain. So we're bargaining with our iman, bargaining with our deen, bargaining with the condition of our heart, and are ready to put that heart into such risk, that heart which is going to drive us, depending which direction. What is in the heart, that's a direction. So the aspect that has been repeatedly emphasized in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be very, very conscious about the environment we are in. We have heard many times the well-known hadith of the person who committed 100 murders. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions about the person in the Bani Israel who committed 100 murders. Lengthy incident, but just the crux of it. Eventually he went to some alim to ask him that, is there some way that I can also come right and come gain salvation? So obviously one is the matter of the 100 murders, but as a person, is there any door that I can also enter to come out of all this? He told him, yes, door of Tawbah is open, but you leave this place you are in, go to certain other place, you go and join the people in that place. And then he says to him, وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكْ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ سُوءٍ. Don't return to your place. Don't ever come back here. You remain there. Because this place, evil is abounding in this place. The place is going to impact on you. So if you come back, Allah forbid, you're going to then turn around again. You are going to go in reverse. So now you go to this place far away, you go and join the company there, and there are people who are, that place is people of piety are there. So you join the people of piety. It's not the land itself, it's who's there, what's going on there. That is what makes it the Ahabbul Biladi ilallahi masajiduha, the best of places on earth in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the masajid. One is the very virtue of the masjid. But together with that, it is what goes on in the masjid. Person coming into the house of Allah Ta'ala, merely being in the house of Allah is going to inspire him something towards righteousness. Even if he just came by chance. Person came to do some maintenance in the masjid, but then the azan went and he's a person who doesn't perform his zuhr salah. And it's now zuhr time. He came to fix something up. It's very far-fetched. He's going to leave the masjid and go away at the time of salah. He'll join the... Being in the masjid enabled him to perform his salah. And being in the bazaar somewhere, being in some souk and being wherever else, what is going to make him do? What impact is going to have in his heart? So, this person now was given this advice, you leave this place of yours, it's a place of evil, you leave this place and go to a place of piety. And that's what he did, he took the advice and he went on. And Allah Ta'ala willed it that he passed away en route. But being en route to the place of piety with the intention of giving up the place of sin. So he had this determination that I'm leaving this place for good. I'm going to be in the place of piety. He didn't even reach there yet. And his life went. But these steps towards the place of piety and these steps away from the place of sin, Allah Ta'ala's mercy came upon him and the angels of Rahmat took his ruh and he reached Jannat. Now can we imagine the opposite situation? A person deliberately leaving places of good and heading towards places of sin. He is making his destination, paying at exorbitant prices or whatever, holiday venues which are abounding with sin. He knows up front already what kind of environment is going to be there at this time of the year. He knows what's going to happen to his iman because it happened last time already. He knows how he nearly get caught up in home, so many illicit things. And Allah forbid so many got caught up. Because it's a free-for-all environment. So even deen is free-for-all. Parda is free-for-all. And what nearly happened to his iman too, he knows. And now he's planning, premeditating, booking, and paying to be in a place that's abounding with vice, with evil, with music blaring in his ears, with nudity at every corner, and not every corner in every step. And he says, but this is a holiday time. Everybody is at the beach at this time. How can I not be there? And everybody is in this place and that place. How can I not be there? So we are not somebody else. We are mu'mineen. Allah has blessed us with iman. And a person looks after what he treasures very much. He looks after it with great care. We haven't heard somebody, all his jewels and diamonds and gold and silver and whatever, he's kept it lying around in the house because you don't know who is walking in and out, let alone outside. He doesn't put it outside as somebody say he's not sane anymore. He looks after it, he puts it in a, he says, no, even the house is not safe enough. He's got layers upon layers of security. He says, no, this we have to get a vault somewhere. And he pays for that. Despite having all the layers upon layers of security in his home, he says, this is still not safe enough. He needs a vault at some price somewhere else, because this is very, very valuable. So our iman is less valuable than that. Is our iman not requiring care like that? Iman can be taken anywhere. The iman can be exposed to any environment. The iman for the price of some cheap entertainment, some browsing, taken anywhere. The problem and difficulty is that when the value of something is not understood, then the care of it is not according to as it should be. Give a small little child that diamond and he'll walk around outside, he'll throw it somewhere too. For him, what is another stone, a little bit shiny maybe, that's all. He'll throw it somewhere. Because what he knows the value of that diamond. But then when his father comes to know that he picked it up from somewhere and threw it, he tell him, you threw our whole future away. Allah forbid, because of the lack of consciousness of the value of this iman, we're ready to take it anywhere, expose it to any risk, expose it to any environments. And then when there's a retrogression in our deen, and then our whole life is going in the opposite direction, we don't even realize where we're heading, what's going on. These are very dangerous times for our iman, for the iman of our children, our families. We cannot take this time casually. This is a revision which we have to revise regularly in this time. This itself is a revision. And we have to keep revising this message and lesson with our families, within ourselves, in this entire so-called holiday time and holiday period. Our iman is our greatest wealth. Our iman is what we live for and what we must die for. And must sacrifice iman for nothing. Anything else? So this is the focus that we should be having, and especially in this time and period of time, we should be super careful, super conscious about ourselves, our families, our children, advise one another. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on iman. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on the deen and on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and take us on this Mubarak deen and iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الحمد لله القائل والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون فنحمده حمدا كثيرا كلما يحمده الحامدون ونشكره شكرا جميلا كلما يشكره الشاكرون ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقوله يهتدي المهتدون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وقال تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم أنت السلام أنت السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان ومتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة على الإيمان ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك.